It produces action. And we could go through a lot of different things today, but I just want to read verse number 13. I think that's where we'll start at. We're going to use our Bible some this morning. I won't have you turn to all the verses that I have. Just kind of put up with Andrew. He's running the slides this morning, and I have more slides today than I normally have. I really didn't realize Andrew's back there, so Andrew, I apologize in advance. I'll try to be accurate in the points, okay, so that you'll know where I need to be at or where you need to be at. And if not, that's okay. We'll just continue on. Oh, let me set my timer. It means nothing, but I like setting it anyways. Verse number 13. At the end of this chapter, he deals with charity. And then he says something here. He says, now abideth. The word abide means to reside permanently in the same state. All right, so it's residing. These things abide. These things reside, should live in the believer. He says, now abideth these things, faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is charity. But I want to focus on a different word, hope. Hope. What does hope do? What will hope do for the believer? Whenever you find these three words together in the New Testament, really what they do is they are a summarization of the Christian's life. You'll find these three words, faith, hope, charity, or faith, hope, and love, in different places in the New Testament. In the book of Colossians, it says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. The word of God says it. You have faith in Jesus Christ. You have love for the brethren. You have hope that God is going to do something in your life. So we look at these three words and we need to define them. This is where we're going to start with our slides, Andrew. First of all, what is faith? What is faith? Faith is trust that rests upon evidence and leads to action. And all God's people said, it's not just resting upon evidence. It's not just believing that Jesus is who He said He is, but it's leading us to action. It's trusting Him as our personal Lord and Savior. Faith is resting upon evidence, the truths of the Word of God, and I move forward because of what God has promised and what God said. Faith isn't just simply, well, I believe. No, faith is, I believe and I do. I believe and I will obey. I believe and I'll follow God. Faith possesses the past by laying hold on Calvary and making it real in my life. Wendell just sang about the cross. Faith in this truth that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Faith makes that real in my life. And whenever the cross, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, is real in my life, it'll lead me to live for God. Faith is the foundation of our relationship with God. But as many as received Him, how do we receive Him? By faith. To them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. Faith and belief are they're holding hands. What is hope? What is hope? Hope is, next Andrew, hope is confidence in the future. It is an expectation of something better. But get this, this is the difference that hope that Christians have and the world has, is based upon the promises of God. Hope is a confidence in the future. Why? Because God's already there. It's an expectation of something better because it's based on the promises of God. Hope claims the future and it looks beyond into glory. It's not a vague guess. It's not, well, I hope it turns out good for you. No, whenever we as Christians say that, what we're saying is, I know based on the promises of the Word of God that God is going to do something in your life. That's what my hope is in. Hope. Hope is not a vague guess.
But hope for the Christian, for the believer, is a confident, absolute assurance that God promised and God will bring it to pass. That's what hope is. Hope.
And what is love? What is love? Love ought to dominate my life today. Love is really Christian living. Here's what love is. Love is Jesus Christ living through the Christian's life. Love is the Holy Ghost of God working through the believer, working in the believer, working through the believer. That's what love is. Love is not what they call this love today, where it's like, well, you know, there are all these attractions, these different genders, which, you know, I find it funny. The other day that there's a shirt that was being sold on Amazon that said there are 57 different genders. And then when you got to buy the shirt, you had to choose whether it was for a man or a woman. Oh, 57 genders. Why didn't they have all of them down there? It's just, no. You know why? Because there's really on just two. All the others are mental disorders. That's a good... never mind, we won't go there. Faith says Jesus came to save me. Hope says He's coming again to take me. And love abides in my heart today. Can I say that again? That's really good. I read that and I thought, man, I wish I'd have thought of that. Faith says Jesus Christ came to save me. Hope says He's coming again to take me to be with Him. Love says He abides in my heart today. Faith, hope, love. Faith, hope, charity. Faith goes on possessing God more fully. Today, I want to deal with this word hope. A man by the name of Marden said, "There is no medicine like hope, no incentive so great, no tonic so powerful as expectation of something better tomorrow." Hope. Take from a man his wealth and you hinder him. Take from a man his purpose and you slow him down. But take from a man his hope and you stop him. He can go on without wealth. He can even, for a while, go on without purpose. But he cannot go on without hope. Other men see a hopeless end, but the Christian rejoices in an endless hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible has much to say to the believer about hope, about the future. Hope must be kept alive. Hope must be sustained. In order to live the Christian life victoriously, we must have hope. The Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he that promised is faithful." That's hope. All right, let's get to point number one. By the way, I have 7 points. I haven't preached in a while, so I have 7, all right? We had 10, but I took some off. What will hope do for the believer? Number one, it'll be an anchor in the storms of life. You know, oftentimes whenever storms come, people begin to ask, does it really pay to serve God? They asked that in Malachi's day. In fact, they said this, "You've said it is vain to serve God." It's empty. Is it? Is it empty? Is it vain? And then I read in the book of Hebrews where the Bible says, God is not unrighteous to forget. The book of Hebrews chapter 6 says this, "God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you've showed toward His name, and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." God will bless as He has promised, even though sometimes it seems as though He has forgotten. The book of Job is a book of a man that's struggling in his faith, whether or not God has forgotten him. But there's a phrase that Job uses that we can latch on today, and here's what he said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." I know that. You know what he's saying? Hope. Hope. For there is hope of a tree, Job says. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. There's hope today. What kind of hope do we have? Hope of eternal life. When the storms of life come along, realize that they're just temporary. Just temporary. The Bible says, in hope of eternal life, that God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began. Hope. Hope is based on the promises of God. Hope will be an anchor in the storms of life. Do not let the storms drive you from Jesus Christ. Let the storms drive you to Jesus Christ. Number two, what will hope do in the believer's life? It'll be a comfort in the sorrows of life. Everything on the platform got moved around while I was gone. Piano's in the wrong spot, chairs are wrong, speakers, I don't know what all's going on up here. Pulpit's wobbly. Just falling apart. Yeah, well, glory. Sorrows of life. Sorrows of life. What kind of sorrows do we have? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brother, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. In the 3rd century AD, the Greeks were the ones that manipulated a lot of the thought. One of the writers of that day wrote, "Hopes are among the living, the dead are without hope." You can tell he wasn't a Christian, wasn't a believer. When we stand at the edge of a grave and we put a loved one's body there, we sorrow, but not like those that have no hope. Because we have hope based on the promises of God that we'll see that loved one again in eternity. Our songs. Churches are making a mistake whenever they quit singing the hymns. Christians, we need to hear the hope that are in those songs. Our younger generation needs to know those songs. They may not be able to quote them, but it needs to resonate with their soul. Glory to His name. Here, get your hymn book. Yeah, amen. Page 394 in your hymn book. This is not sermon time, this is singing time, so I'm pausing the timer. Yeah, man. No, I don't want you to. I'm going to lead. Hey, I've been gone for 2 weeks. I learned how to sing while I was gone. All right. I'll read the words, and you guys just let it sound like a song in your mind. Amen. Here it is, solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Verse number 2. When darkness veils His lovely face, has that ever happened to you before? I rest upon His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Verse 3. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the overwhelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. Verse 4, when He shall come with trumpet sound, that's hope. Oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hope will be a comfort in the storms of life. What will hope do for the believer? It'll comfort you. Number 3, hope will help us become or remain steadfast in our service for God. if in this life, the only hope we have is in Jesus being a good man, then we have no hope. But we have hope because Jesus is alive. Sometimes the errors of the foolish and the unsaved distract us from seeing that which God is really doing. Moses was a man that was taken into a different culture and all of that, but he was able to take the long view and he said, I will serve God. You know, in our day and time, maybe we need to take the long view and just decide, I'm not going to let what's happening around me change what's going on inside of me. The world wants to conform us to its image. The world wants us to be mean and cruel and hateful and all of those things. And Jesus wants us to be like Jesus. Faith, hope, and love. Our hope today is not in Jesus being a good man. Our hope is in this fact that Jesus Christ is and always will be God. He now is risen from the dead. Number four, what will hope do for the believer? It'll help give purpose in our trials. You know, sometimes whenever we hit a trial point in our lives, we begin to lose direction. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 5. Just one book back from where you're at there in 1 Corinthians, Romans 5. Romans 5. Sometimes trials may come from the hand of Satan. The Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Don't worry, I'm going to read chapter 5, but I'm reading something else first. It says, or famine or nakedness or peril, sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, and all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Trials, chapter 5, verse number 1. Here's the first truth. Therefore, being justified by what? By what? By faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. The word patience means to remain under. To remain under. Sometimes God puts a burden on us and He wants us to remain under that and learn purpose, hope, patience. Tribulation worketh patience. So if you pray for patience, what you're praying for is tribulation. Quit praying for patience for our church. Pray for it individually, amen? How many of you have realized that you have more tribulation sometimes than you have patience? Amen? It's like, really? Tribulation? I don't want any more tribulation. God says, but I want you to learn to remain under. Patience experience. I know whom I've believed. I know that in my life, that through trials, God can and will work. I know that in some of the darkest days of my life, where I thought there was no hope, I'm still here. It didn't kill me. It didn't destroy me. You know what it did? It gave purpose. Purpose. I have experience. By the way, it's something that you can only gain the hard way. Experience. It's called living life. You know what happens after you have experience? You have the trials. You have the tribulation. You go through the experience. And you know what you get? Here's what the Bible says. In verse number 4, patience, experience, and spirit, experience, hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There's that love again. So you have in these five verses, hope, faith, love. Sometimes trials will come from the hand of Satan. Sometimes trials will come from the brethren. Just ask Joseph. Sometimes they may be from enemies, the Apostle Paul, several times. But more often than not, trials come from our own failures. Just ask Simon Peter. I was reading the book of Hosea in the last couple weeks. Hosea is a short book. One of the men that I respect wrote a book about Hosea. And I thought, well, I want to read his book, but I need to read the book of Hosea. So I did. Hosea is the narrative of Hosea, the prophet, and the woman that he married. I don't know why he married her. Her name should have gave it away. Her name is Gomer. Yeah, can you imagine? In today's world, that may be okay to introduce Gomer as your wife, and everybody would be thinking, oh, he's so cute. No, 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 it's her. She identifies as she because she's a she, but Gomer was a prostitute. Hosea married a prostitute. She didn't reform. On several occasions, she prostituted herself out, sometimes for days and weeks. Hosea cried to God, God, Gomer's gone. You know what God said? Go get her. Bring her back. Clean her up. Love her. Restore her. You know what Hosea did? He did. Trials. God gave him a purpose. What was the purpose? To love the unlovely. To love whenever one doesn't love you back. You know what Gomer did? She did it again. And again. And again. Hosea and Gomer were a picture of God and the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel prostitute itself and go after other gods, and God would bring them back, love them, restore them. For modern day, the book of Hosea is about you and I. Hosea would be God and you and I would be Gomer. Sometimes maybe it's a loved one gone home. So what do you do? Love them. Now, just because you love someone doesn't mean you accept their behavior. But you still love them. Give them a place to come back home. Number five. What does hope do? Hope creates character in our sufferings. Character. You'll never know how good God is until you go through a tough time. How many of you in this room have learned things about God by going through tough times that you think you wouldn't have learned any other way? How many of you? All right. How many of you have learned things about yourself going through those things that you wouldn't have learned? Amen. Sometimes you say, why does God allow suffering in our life? Because He wants you and I to get to know His character. And He wants us to get to know our weaknesses. And through that suffering, He wants us to begin to take on His character. For our light affliction is but for a moment, and it worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Creation around us suffers, is groaning. The Bible challenges us to patiently wait. Patiently. You say, I'm going through some suffering, I'm going through some trials. What character trait of God does God want you to take on? Could it be loving kindness? Could it be suffereth long? The Bible says charity suffereth long. That means patience. That means slowness to anger. I know Christians today that are angry at God. They're angry at God because something happened in their life that they still don't understand. And I'll be honest with you. You've got to let that go. It'll ruin you. It'll taint every area of your life. One of the things that God wants us to learn to do in suffering is to trust Him. Trust Him. Not a person in this room, maybe some of the younger people, but not an adult in this room, has not had something happen in their lives that was almost unimaginable. You say, why? I don't know, but God has a reason for it. He said, well, I don't know the reason. Sometimes it's not for you and I to know the reason. We were talking yesterday in the men's prayer breakfast about some things. You know, abortion is a scourge of our nation and always has been for the last 40 or 50 years. I made someone mad recently over the school shooting in Uvalde. I know that they support abortion, and I said, what's the big deal to you? Why would it matter to you that somebody walked in and killed a bunch of children in the classroom? You're for killing them in the womb. What difference does it make to you? Life is life. Amen. That's it. You can't. I refuse to be lectured by those people that support killing an unborn child about this. Just like I refuse to be lectured by the demented president we have about gun control whenever he accidentally left 300,000 weapons for the Taliban to use. That's free. Suffering. Whenever we go through suffering, you know what God's doing? He's building portions of our life that would have never been built without it. He's shaving off portions of our life and our character that would have never been shaved off without it. Number six, what does hope do for the believer? It makes us expectant in our living. Oh, how many of you are old enough to remember ordering something and having to wait? Here it is, 4 to 6 weeks. How many remember those days? 4 to 6 weeks. Walked out their mailbox. Still not here. Really? Wait, still not here. 4 to 6 weeks. My goodness. What were they doing that took so long? And now, it's like, hey, I ordered something yesterday, and when I get home after church, it should be sitting on my doorstep. They're going to fly it in with a drone. I don't know how they're going to get it there. But I remember those days of being expectant. I remember those days of watching a television show and not being able to binge on the whole 5 seasons at once on Netflix. I had to wait till the next week. It's like, expectant. Work my schedule around the next Batman show. Gilligan's Island or whatever it was. What are you and I looking for today? What are we expecting today? You say, well, I'm expecting for Jesus to come back. The Bible says looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, will be ushered into heaven. We should expect that He's coming again. My goodness, the events that are happening around our world today, Jesus is coming back. Number seven, last. Hope. What does hope do? It causes us to think. Honestly, it does. Hope causes us to meditate on the promises of God. Somebody said, well, I hope gas prices come down. Not with this president. When I read the scriptures, you know what it challenges me to do? Be patient. Allow God to comfort me. Here's what the Bible says. We're in Romans. Go with me to Romans 15. This will be the last place I have you turn. Romans 15. Romans 15. Verse number 4. Verse number 4. Romans 15, verse number 4. He says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime. What does he mean? All the Bible that was written up at that point. Those things that were written aforetime. By the way, now all the entire Bible has been written before for us. So he says, all those things, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have, what's the word? Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. The psalmist says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark its iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. In His Word do I hope. It'll fill you with joy. Chapter 15, verse number 13. Verse number 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. What are the next two words? Say them together with me. Ready? Joy and peace where? In believing. Remember what hope is? Hope is an assurance that is based on the promises of God. In believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The psalmist writes that they might set their hope in God and forget not the works of God, but keep His commandment. All to be without a Savior, without no hope or refuge nigh, can it be, O blessed Savior, one without Thee there to die? Last slide, Andrew. Where there is no hope, there is no happiness. What will hope do for the believer? It'll be an anchor in the storms of life. It'll be a comfort in the sorrows of life. It'll help us to be steadfast in our service. It'll give purpose in our trials. It creates character in our sufferings. It helps us to have an expectation in our living. But really, hope causes us to meditate, to think on the promises of God. Maybe you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm hopeless. I have no hope. I'll give you a chapter in the Bible that you read later on. It's Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 is what many call the chapter of hope for the hopeless. Mark chapter 5, you had the maniac of Gadara. There's no hope for him. He's demon-possessed. But what happened? He met Jesus. And hope changed his life around. You have the lady that had spent all of her money, was dying, because she had an issue in her blood. The doctors had no idea how to cure her. And she said, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. What happened? She had no hope, but she touched the hem of His garment and was made whole. And while Jesus was dealing with her, a man came to the ruler of the synagogue and said, your daughter is dead. Jesus went with him. And Jesus says, she's just asleep. And they laughed him to scorn. No hope. Jesus walked in, spoke to her, grabbed her by the hand, and lifted her up and raised her from the dead. Can I tell you today? There's no one, no one, no situation, no circumstance that is beyond hope. Hope thou in God. Heads bowed, eyes.